hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart.
So we pour out our praise to you only. Hallelujah. We're going to ask the ushers to come at this time, but as they come and take the offering, don't let what God is doing in this place just hinder the move of God. It is just so, it's just something just resonating in this place. I just don't want it to be quenched, and it doesn't have to. Just allow the Spirit to continue to move your heart and be stirred in this place. Brother Gary, will you pray for the offering?
Your grace for me is always enough. There is no one higher than our God. There is no one greater than you. Let my life forever praise the glory of your name.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Is there a special need this morning in this house? Amen. Amen. Was this morning? There's a car here. John. Remember Jim Umbers? Amen. I have some time last week with Jim, about 3 or 4 hours in the afternoon, and we had some fellowship with his friends, and I waited for everybody to go and just offered our services to him. But he is facing, and hopefully, and I guess it's something we should pray for if God does not heal him completely before, but he's on a list for a lung transplant. So he is dealing with some serious things. He can only walk a few feet, and my talk with him the other day was to explain to him that in everything we do for God, we don't have to be overwhelmingly energetic. I understand that's a part of worship and Pentecostals. It's kind of hard to feel like, but I'm glad in this church. I remember people getting the Holy Ghost one night. We had a lady on this side of the pulpit that was about 80 years old, and she got the Holy Ghost, and somebody on this side of the pulpit was about 8 years old, and she got the Holy Ghost. And God just can greatly fill anybody with any circumstance. Amen. And I have come in myself, my personal life, and when it comes to a time to worship and praising God, I spend more time talking to God and myself in an unknown tongue. The Bible tells us we can do that. Amen. Let him speak to himself and to God. I want to tell you something. It's a whole lot better speaking to yourself and to God than it is just speaking to yourself. Hallelujah. That probably won't edify you much. Amen. But the Bible says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, there's times it edifies. It lifts you up. Amen. And it's what we really need. Praise the Lord. And so let's pray that the Lord would touch Jim. He has told me that he has been praying, that he is reading, that had a Bible right by his place. And if we have to just go there every day and do something, amen. What? Pardon? Sister Kellen? Oh, I'm sorry. Sister Christy. All right. Amen. Amen. I'm sure we all have needs. Let's just lift those needs to God. Let's ask God to bless His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we love You. We are so thankful that You're the God. Amen. Lord, You know all things. Amen. You really don't need us to testify towards somebody what is in them or witness, because, Lord, You know what is in man. You understand the needs that are in our hearts and minds. Amen. We understand God well, and thank God for it, that we know that You can do all things. Hallelujah. Heal all diseases. Hallelujah. Some that are minor in our eyes, but yet they could be major. And yet there are those that are major. Hallelujah, Lord, that You can turn into a minor thing. You are not limited in Your power. Hallelujah. All power in heaven and earth is given to You. Look upon these whose names we have brought before Your presence this morning. Amen. Those that are in our hearts and in our minds. God, our friends and our loved ones, Lord, we pray that You minister to them. And Lord, we want to be willing that You use us. Hallelujah. To take Your word of hope and healing and salvation and deliverance, God, everywhere that we go. Hallelujah. It's not just Your will that they come here, but it's Your will that they hear and that they have a chance to respond. So anoint this congregation, Lord, to be missionary-minded, evangelist-minded, Lord, as we would leave this house today, knowing that You have a great work for us to do. Amen. Lord, this morning we thank You for this time of worship. Thank You for Your word. Anoint my mind, anoint my heart and my lips. Hallelujah. Anoint the hearer of the word and the heart of the word, the mind that they would understand. Hallelujah, Lord, the heart that they would receive. Hallelujah, Lord, that they would let the presence of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, just minister to every need, every sin, every doubt, everything that tries to hinder us this morning. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a good hand offering. May be seated. God is so good. Hallelujah. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. You can stand if you desire to. I think it's proper. Amen. And hearing the word of the Lord read. I know I just had you sit down, but godly exercise. Amen. What's that? No, I said godly exercise. Hallelujah. Bodily exercise profiteth little. So evidently spiritual exercise profits a lot. So you're going to go home, Sister Doris, and feel like you're 25 years old because you got your... Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity or lawlessness. In other words, they obey the word, Brother Callum. Get in step. Hallelujah. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared into every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him and at his will. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Somewhere I got a peanut stuck. somewhere I got a peanut stuck. I was warned down in the basement if I took a little bite of this cake. I said, no, at first I did put up a strong resistance. Amen. About that piece of cake downstairs for about 3 seconds. And I decided I probably should do that, and I was warned. Brother Dave, I did check my teeth, and they're not in my teeth, but it's just in the right place there. Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house. Thank you, Brother Kellum, for the word. Hallelujah. Amen. Did an awesome job, and that's some, you know, you got to get in step, folks. Amen. And there's a good beat to this. There is a good message to this word of God and what Brother Kellum said today, but I'm going to touch on part of that message a little bit, and I'm going to invade upon the scriptures and the story that Brother Mark gave to us last week. But in Timothy, we're actually dealing with this, the older minister, amen, giving information and words of wisdom to a younger man, Timothy. And so that's what this letter and First and Second Timothy cover, to where God is not only revealing to them what we would call doctrinal principles, but also a great family life of family and the church and relationships that we have here on earth. And that's doctrine also. Amen. This doctrine that God told us, and the commandment that he says, I give you a new commandment, and that is that you should love your neighbor like you love yourself and love one another. Amen. In this church. And so he established that to us. That is doctrine. You don't have an option, in other words. You've got to be able to love one another, forgive one another. Amen. And so we like this, Acts 2:38. That gets pretty excited, and it's the truth of God, and it's how we get saved. But there are a number of things that Christ laid down for us in his gospel that are foundational to us in just surviving with our own self, as well as our friends and those that are around about us. And so Paul is just kind of putting out some truth here to Timothy, and I like to just look at the scripture, break it down a little bit, amen, almost in a teaching fashion for a few moments here, amen. Notice in the scripture that we read that it tells us the Lord knows those that are his. Hallelujah. And that if any man name the name of Christ, that he is to depart from iniquity. In other words, you cannot live a life of praising God and lawlessness at the same time. There is something that is going to be greatly amiss if you do that, and things will go wrong, and you'll wonder what the problem of it is. Amen. And so, but it does say this, that in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood and earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. There's a good chance this morning in this congregation there's somebody that just really is not right with God. Amen. Or maybe even a saint that is going through a little time of discouragement and temptation or weakness within their lives. And so you look at this, and of course you go into a house, and there are vessels of, not our house, or not my house, but of gold and silver and wood and these things, some to honor, some to dishonor. So as we're sitting here, there ought to be something bear witness with our spirit, please. Amen. To let me know, Lord, where I am with you. I want to be a vessel of honor. Hallelujah. Notice it says, but if a man, now there are vessels of honor and some to dishonor, but if a man therefore purge himself from these, in other words, he makes himself clean. Amen. He moves this out of his life. If his evil thoughts out of his mind and his heart. Amen. If it's not wanting a spirit of rebellion, amen, this iniquity which follows into that, he wants that to be removed. And so if the man therefore will purge himself from these, amen, he shall be a vessel to honor, sanctified, made holy, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. That's what we should aspire for. Brother Davis, do we have to come in here and feel like we're a prophet every week? No, but you ought to feel like that you could be. Amen. And that there's nothing between you and God that would hinder that. Amen. That's one of the things that we worry about. This is not like any other just walk in life that you can have good days and bad days and just do what you want. But we need to fall in step with this word that we heard about this morning, because it is true. It says, flee youthful lust. Follow after righteousness and faith and charity and peace, Amen. And with them, call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle, apt to teach, and patient. Amen. That first phrase that I read there, flee youthful lust. One of the biggest problems that I see in us and in the world is that we like to reflect back on our youth. Amen. And in our youth, I thank God I found God when I was young. Amen. And got that way of life settled long before. Amen. Like I said, I used to have quite the arguments with God, and God straightened me out. He just wouldn't change. Hallelujah. If you think you're going to come in and get him to change, amen, it's just not going to happen. You might get Trump to change, but you will not get Jesus Christ to change, because he is perfect and his wisdom is eternal and it's always with us. It's always, he is always right. Isn't it nice to know somebody that is always right and know that his name is Jesus? Hallelujah. When I finally gave my heart to God, I know the church here has heard me say this many times. I may have said the last time I spoke, because it stands out to me, as I marveled at the fact that after I gave my heart to God, got filled with the Holy Ghost, I asked God the question. I said, God, you know, how did you do this? Because it all seemed like it was nothing until I responded to God and it became something. And the Lord just let me know. And I truly believe it was the Lord. I don't think it was anybody else but him. Amen. Because it was just he and I in the car and talking. And it was just like God reaffirmed, I'm your creator. I know more about you than you know about yourself. Hallelujah. I know how to make you happy. I know what your problems are. And by feeling the presence of the Lord, when you feel the presence of the Lord, God is telling you, I can straighten that out for you. Amen. I can give you peace where there's turmoil, and healing where there is pain, and a sound mind, a pure heart, a spirit of love. Hallelujah. All these things that come into our hearts with God, God just knows the answer. So that's why a preacher can preach, and hopefully that he has the help of God with him, so that the person that is discouraged, or the person that is suicidal, or the person who is hung up on prescription drugs, or the person that is going through a lot of turmoil in his life, he realizes that God can talk to him. Hallelujah. That's why Brother Tom over here, a man, can hear a sermon from the back here, and that being a lady, and Tom said that message was just for me. Reality never leaves anybody out. Hallelujah. You don't have to demonstrate against him, because with God there is no respect of persons. Come on. If you want to be like Christ, you'll have the same mindset. You'll be no respect of persons. The paper boy is as important as the banker. Hallelujah. No matter what race, no matter what nation, no matter what their religion, amen, God has the answer even for the Muslims. Hallelujah. You know, I had a nice flight. I want to be like Luke here for a minute. Luke always talks about being on planes. And things happen when he's on planes. Luke Levine. And I was on a plane coming back home just by myself. Amen. Must have flown to Florida to do something. I don't know, or even where I was going, but I was sitting down with an old Jewish lady on my left, amen, and a young Muslim lady on my right. Hallelujah. And I had Jesus right in the middle. And the Muslim girl asked me some questions, and I said, well, you know what you believe in? And I don't want to argue this to the point to where with them that I'm going to tear them down, but Muslims believe that Allah is God. Now, some of them might have a close connection if they maintain their relationship with their God. I understand that. Now, of course, I've got this little lady on the left of me. She's Jehovah or Yahweh, and amen. And I said, well, you know what? Just this lady next to us, she's Jewish. You're Muslim. I said, you both believe that your God's the creator and that your God, you know, did this work. But let me tell you about, if your God is God, if Allah is God, if Yahweh is God, and really, you know, he was the God of Abraham, and Abraham's seed did go two different directions, Hallelujah. And so if so, I'm not saying this is too far off. If you're of the right mindset, that Allah could be the creator. Now I'm just, I don't believe that. But I mean, but to them it is. But I said they looked upon. They believe in animal sacrifice. You realize that? The Muslims do. And they would offer that. I said, you remember when people used to offer animals for sin sacrifices and things like that? And I'm saying it loud enough so the Jewish lady gets in on this too. And I said, this same God robed himself in flesh. And he came to this world in the likeness of man. Unto us a child was born. Unto us a son was given. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. And he came to this world to save you from your sins so that you don't have to sacrifice animal anymore and have bloodshed. And he's going to take care of her sins because, amen, he no longer, amen, has to come, amen, to the altar with a sacrifice. But he comes by the grace of God and the mercy of God, amen, to take care of our sinfulness. Amen. Most of us, all of us, when we came into the house of God, how many of you was a pretty regular attender before you ever got saved? Amen. She's the head of all of us, but like that. But, you know, there was a time you were a vessel of dishonor. And God made you, if not made you, wants to make you a vessel of honor. Hallelujah. And if you're a vessel of honor already, amen, you just have the right to go on and praise God and enjoy the liberty and the salvation that you had. But we all had this time to wear, and probably circumstances through life, amen, we've done something that we know, I shouldn't have done that, and I feel guilty about that. And instead in the house of God, and thank God for a God that don't let you get by with it. He doesn't make a scene out of it, but somewhere in your heart and your mind you feel convinced of the Holy Ghost and convicted in God that is wrong. I better forgive my brother or my sister. I better get this underneath the blood. I better do what was right because if I don't forgive, I cannot be forgiven. And if you can't be forgiven when you commit a sin, I don't think you're going to go to heaven. If it's something that you knew was wrong and intentional and you never covered it, thank God we can cover things in the blood. Hallelujah. Brother Kellen, this morning I don't want to correct you on anything. I might have a couple things to say here, but God is just one. I read things. Something wrong, he's going to take it, but you've got to get to the word, and we're talking about violations of this word. Notice it says in verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. One of the greatest things that you will have to deal with in coming to God is yourself. Your mindset, your lifestyle, amen, no matter what you seem to be hindered, don't really get frustrated with this or discouraged. But God has a way, amen, to look at us, and you go to the prisons today and you deal with somebody that is really far out there as far as being in trouble and felonies and robberies and things like that. Their greatest opposition is themselves. You would never remember the sister Geraldine. I may remember Sister Geraldine, or Geraldine, and the devil always made her buy that dress. I remember that now. I understand. I'm getting old enough now to where most of these things, young people aren't going to get them at all, but the guy named Flip Wilson, he played this character of Geraldine, and she would go by, and if she went by shoes, and if she went by a nice dress, the devil would make her buy that dress, and he said, come on, try to sell that to everybody else and her husband. But she was in herself weak and the opposition. One of the things that we have to do in coming to God and, amen, reaching this place to where I don't want to be that vessel of dishonor. We welcome dishonor here because we want to turn and see God convert that dishonor into honor. Amen. To where they can stand upright in the presence of God and worship Him. And so one of the problems that you have is there is a self-opposition. You have good intentions. Paul even said this, the good that I would do, I do not, and that which I would not do, that I do. Amen. And this war was going on in his flesh. Now, not, I understand you folks don't have that. Amen. But Paul did. Amen. He was a little weak. I want to tell you something. Don't be afraid to identify with what Paul said. He said it for a reason. I believe he was a man of God. I believe that he was the prophet. He was the one, amen, that virtually in the spirit that was chosen by God to be this apostle to the Gentiles. Amen. And he had to deal with people in all kinds of opposition. And most of the time, those problems deal within ourselves. So I want to touch on some things here relatively quick. Then comes the next thing that he says, if peradventure, amen, that will God give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Amen. Repentance and the acknowledging of the truth. Amen. I believe they will run and correspond together. The fact that we know that after God begins to work in our heart, why do you need the Holy Ghost? I never forget Brother Joel's testimony, and that was that I heard scriptures I heard my whole life, that they never came to life until the Spirit. Jesus said, my word is spirit and life. Amen. And when you get His Spirit and you get His life, amen, working in your behalf and God dealing with you, amen, He's going to bring you to a knowledge of truth. I understand the Holy Ghost is hard. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is hard for some people to receive. But when you become familiar with the Scripture, amen, and the Holy Spirit of God, amen, touches that with anointing, amen, and you open yourself up to God, God is anxious to reveal to you His truth. If there's anything God wants you to know, is His truth. He wants to lead you and guide you in this gift and knowledge of truth. And here's where it becomes a concern to us. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. There are some people, when they come into the house of God, are still fighting this spirit of bondage. And it seems like nothing really is gelling. Nothing is going right. Amen. The devil has you captivated, and he is doing with you what he wants. I tell you what, if you ever have a grudge against somebody, it's fine until the sun goes down. But when that sun goes down, you better have that grudge out of your heart and out of your mind. You don't know if you're going to wake up in the morning. I heard somebody the other day says, when I wake up, I like to, if I smell the roses and I have some dirt or something like that, he says, I know I'm alive. He was being humorous. That was a guy, Prophet Red Skelton. Hallelujah. If I smell flowers, he says, I know it's going to be okay. But in these things, we have to understand there is the snare of the devil. His greatest traps are set out to trip up and captivate saints. He doesn't like truth. He doesn't like you living for God. There are some people who will come and say, Brother Davis, you know what? He said, the devil just never seemed to bother me until I started going to church. I said, well, there's a reason behind that. If he already had you, why would he bother you? Hallelujah. But when you start to change, I mean, look where we are now in our country that is so divided, amen, over an election of one person or the other, amen. It shows me the instability of the time that God would tell us about the being in the last days. And we are at a perilous stage in our life right now because who knows how radical these sides are going to get. Because they're pretty well even on both sides. And so, but the thing that is here that in all of this, he says, if God somehow, amen, let me find my right verse here. If God, by peradventure, will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth. Now, that That word give there is the same word. It's interpreted in a few places as being God grant them repentance. Now, really, God has a big part in repentance. We are saved by faith. Amen. Saved by faith through grace, somebody says, and we like to just kind of stay this grace thing away. But I want to tell you something. Grace just means that the divine influence of God is. Amen. It's unmerited. One definition would say it's God's unmerited love, but it's more than that. It's God just giving you grace to be able to smoothly go through, especially the principles of God, amen, and to receive the Word of God. And God wants that to be a graceful thing to you, not a struggle. He doesn't want it confusion. He's not the author of confusion. If somehow you listen to His grace, that when it comes and you see that God has, dealing with you, and then you feel something, all of a sudden, the Lord said, no man can come. It'll move you out of that camp and down to the altar, broken before God, if you let it come. That have the backs on them kind of wore out a little bit. And I remember the days, I literally remember as a child holding on, keeping from going to an altar because the draw of the Holy Spirit was, you know, and God was so good and God was so long-suffering. Amen. It's by that grace and that long-suffering of God and the goodness of God that led me to repentance. Hallelujah. God is good in every way. He's not bothering you to send you to hell. He's not bothering you and convincing you and convicting you. Amen. And God can show you how good He is. If you've not gone yet, don't be afraid. You say, Brother Davis, I kind of put up this image that I'm a Christian and I don't want that to break down. God won't embarrass you. He will just bring down. His grace will be there. And then He says, now this grace, that God has allowed His presence to grant to us repentance. It's important to us because, I mean, I used to be an evangelist, and I'd see people come to the altar, and it happened in the sandwich church. And somebody would come to this altar and just cry and plead and wail and turn and, you know, and God forgive me, and tears are running, and heart is broken. In a little prayer that should lead us into a prayer of repentance, but He can't really lead you in a prayer of repentance for everything because there's things you need to repent of that He don't know. And there's things that you have need of that you don't want out. Nothing wrong with that. We come to the place in the house of God, we become ashamed of sin that we used to be so proud of. And now we're turning around. We don't want anybody to know that, but yet God doesn't seem to put us on a spot. He just comes, amen, and ministers to us in the Holy Ghost. He wants you saved. I want to bring this up because of the, you know, Brother Mark, last week I was actually already thought I was going to preach this subject. And I thought, well, you know what, here's Mark just told me. He preached on that Cornelius guy. And Cornelius was somebody that is worthy. And so I'm not going to go into Acts chapter 10 so much. I might pull a few things out of there. I think I've got everything in the scripture here. Of course, finding it's another thing. But Acts chapter 11. I want you to go there with me. Somebody tell me a little bit last week about Cornelius. What kind of man was he? A devout man. And what's that? Gave alms, is let go of his money. What's that? The Roman centurion. Pray to God. Oh, that's not just stop right there. He was a pretty good guy already. He was probably somebody that had, if he prayed, he probably amen, known, and we knew there was an influence on this man of the Jewish people, and they respected him, and they believed in repentance. And maybe Cornelius had repented. Maybe he probably had repented every day if he prayed every day and knew how to pray, and evidently he did because he did it every day. Amen. He probably covered that. God, forgive me my sin. Or, amen, I've treated somebody wrong, or I've done something wrong. And he kept himself to the point to where, unlike you or I, amen, it was so much that his prayers came up before God as a memorial. Anybody else say that? I don't know. But that prayers really never go to waste, but they were just so many, God could not ignore them anymore. And so he sends this messenger to him, amen, and he tells him, I want you to go down and send for the man in Joppa, amen. And there's a man there that's going to tell you, I think it's in verse 6, and I just want to bring this out, he's going to tell you what thou oughtest to do, what you should do, that word would mean also, but here it says oughtest, and we know what that means. It just means, oughtest means ought. We get real spiritual, you can say all of us because it's King James. Don't get that everywhere. Hallelujah. And so anyway, with this, he takes his men and sends them to Joppa. And there Paul is having his vision or his trance. He's falling out in a trance. And this sheet comes down from heaven. And there's all kinds of wild beasts and creeping things and fowl of the air. And they're on this, and they're all forbidden for Paul and Paul, or excuse me, yeah, Paul and Peter. And he says, arise and eat. And Peter says, I have never. He could probably have said it like this: I have never in my life eaten stuff like that, and I'm not going to start now. How do you know that, Brother Davis? Because he had to have a. It happens a second time. And then finally it comes the third time. So there was something there he was saying in his spirit, I have never, and I'm not going to, but now he begins to realize that something special is going on. Amen. Two men are going to be knocking at your door, and you're going to go find them, and you're going to encounter them, and they're going to lead you, and they're going to take you back to this Cornelius. You know the message as well as I. Amen. And Mark just preached it last week, and our memories are not short. We have good memories, I know. And so in those times. I believe that there was a time that God found me at just the right time, amen, and was able to come into my life because circumstances were all favorable to the entry of God into my life. So Paul goes down here and begins to deal with this. And let me find where I want to be here. Everybody say, thank God for computers. And I thank God for computers because my computer, for some reason, in my word processor will not put numbers on my one computer. I have another computer that I'll get them on there later. And so this great thing is going on. And so he teaches them. He tells them, oh, how God mightily anointed Jesus Christ, who went about doing good and healing that would let him. He will do things for people who will let him do things for them. Oh, Brother Davis, I am self-sufficient. I'm a man, or I'm a new age woman to the point, or a millennium woman to where nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to set my own direction. But when God comes knocking on your door, you need to open up to that. Cornelius, we've already established, is a good man. And now, all of a sudden, he has this in his life to where, you know, God has called him and done these miraculous things, and Peter is speaking, and he's called all of his family here to hear this guy. And all that happens, that while Peter was yet preaching the word, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Just so happened. And they began to speak with tongues. Amen. As the Spirit gave them utterance, we always say. And that's where it happened, really. And the Jews that came with Peter, I think six of them, amen, that were there with him, they heard these people speak with tongues. Amen. And at first they're probably thinking, you know, what's going on here? And suddenly they realize, this is how we acted when we got the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we spoke in tongues and people thought we were drunk. And Peter said, these men are not drunken like you suppose. In other words, there was a demonstration of the Spirit that was going on in their lives. And they knew, those six knew, these folks are getting it just like we got it. And Peter said, he commanded them. He didn't suggest it. He just went on and commanded them, amen, that you've got to be baptized now in the name of Jesus. And so to us apostolics, even that gets a little out of order, but it's the elements that count. You need that experience of cleansing. Amen. Even though you're a good person and a good man, you're not any better. I guarantee you, there's nobody living in sin that's as good as Cornelius was with all probability. Like 99.9. I think Russia's even dropped his number to 99.8. Truth all the time. I doubt that. But. And so everything's good. They come back and tell, you know, the old folks. Negative spirit. Amen. And they began such things in Acts chapter 11, and the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles also received the word, and Peter came up from Jerusalem, and they of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest to a man uncircumcised, and you ate with him? How dare you? And so anyway, he has to tell this story. Amen. Not everybody's going to like. They're going to tell you what's wrong. Amen. And these folks are taking one of the apostles and telling him, the apostle, to some people, you can't do that. You can't eat with the uncircumcised. After this point, Peter says, just watch me. And he tells them about the vision, and he tells them about how it happened three times. Peter was even having problems. He was the one that says, I have never. And they said, how could you ever? And he tells them the story, and suddenly their ears open. Amen. And he goes down to verse 8 and says, but I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean at any time has entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me from heaven, what God has cleansed, you do not call that common. And this was done three times, and so I went. And here is what he begins to tell them. And behold, immediately there were three men already came to the house where I was sent in Caesarea. Got ahead of myself a little bit. And the Spirit bade me to go with them, nothing doubting. First of all, he knew it was the Spirit. And it pleaded with him to go and quit doubting. Quit doubting. You know, that needs to come to us. The devil will confound your mind with doubt. It can happen, but it can't happen to me. I remember those days. How many ever thought it could never see yourself as speaking in tongues? Come on now. Never thought it would happen. Now, some of you raised in church, you knew it would, but I mean, you just kind of had that little thought that, you know, Sister Doris had that thought big time. Not only did she not want to speak in tongues, she sure didn't want to have to shout and have a demonstration. And all God did to her is make her get underneath these pews and roll a few up. And you think, boy, you know, how did that happen? Well, God had to show her. She was one of those, I have never. Amen. And who shall tell thee the words whereby thy and thy house should be saved? That's what they're looking for. Amen. And I begin. Now notice, let me stop here because I mentioned a while ago about this word aldest. Now that word is not aldest, but it is tell thee whereby thy and thy house shall be saved. What was really going on, they ought to be saved, just like everybody ought to be saved. And there's a way that you ought to be saved, just like it happened, amen, in the book of Acts. And so they begin to listen to this, and I begin to speak, and the Holy Ghost interrupted me and fell on them, amen, as on us at the beginning. Go back to Acts chapter 2, and I think this is around 8 years later, amen, that Paul is here and he's preaching this message, amen, and said he goes back to the beginning. I want to tell you something, folks, amen, this was to make the, God was giving you the power to become a witness, and he says when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. The people who preach that tongues have ceased, the sensationalists, amen, have come up with something that they're going to have to deal with, amen, because this was promised not only to this but it was. It took a while for this gospel to get to the uttermost parts of the earth. And it is getting there. Even I saw not long ago, somebody else got their first Bible scrolls that were given to them that was a scripture. And they'd never had a Bible on their island before. And the word's just getting to them. But I believe that God wants to bring them the same gospel, the same experience. Acts chapter 2. You hear about that a lot around here because, amen, like I said, we even got some denominal men that are on this Acts 2:38 kick now, like Chan, Francis Chan, and some of these others. Amen. I'm not saying they're right where we are yet, but I believe that they're moving in a better direction than I see some of the Pentecostals going. Pentecostals become ashamed of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Amen. You're going to be forgiven of every sin against you, that you make against the Son of Man. But if you sin against the Holy Ghost, amen, it's needful for you that I go, amen, so that the Holy Ghost could come. Amen. Jesus knew the most important thing that will be in your life, amen, is the presence of the Holy Ghost. He said it himself. I need to go so he could come, but I will not leave you comfortless. Amen. But I will come to you. And we know all that happened was Jesus went to heaven. Amen. And God sent back his spirit. And it's the spirit of Christ that dwells in you. Hallelujah. You know what, brother? Tell him you were getting short this morning. I'm getting long. We're not going to go far for supper or for lunch here. Then I remember the word of the Lord, how John said, indeed, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This word baptism comes from that same word that's used, baptism by water. It means that you are overwhelmed, that you are submerged, that you are immersed. Amen. Everybody feels the Spirit of God. You feel it the day that God first talks to you. But when you become baptized in it, you no longer became, you're not any longer the same creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new because the Spirit is in you. You say, well, why do you get excited, Brother Davis? Because sometimes, evidently, the Corinthians could not get this. Because Peter had to ask the question Paul three times, amen, in these books, 1 and 2 Corinthians, he had to ask the question, and he starts it with it like this. What? Know you not that your body is the Holy Ghost, or is the temple of God? And God has said, I will walk in them, I will dwell in them, I'll be their God, they're going to be my people, and where's he going to reside? Corinthians couldn't get it. Three times he had to repeat it for him. I hope he did that. Now, can you imagine God walking and dwelling in you, and talking to you, and working in you, and nothing exciting going on? He just created the heavens and the earth and sea and everything that's in them. Amen. When we go out and look at his creation, we're overwhelmed by the magnitude and the wisdom of the Almighty God. And he says, I'm going to make my place in your heart. You're going to be baptized in the Spirit. The Spirit's going to come and reside inside of you. And you're going to do greater works than me. Because my spirit is going to be in you, and it's going to be the spirit of Christ, and you're going to have the fortitude in yourself through this spirit, this power, this exousia now, amen, that's going to come in you. Amen. As many as received him gave you power to become the sons of God. This is this word exousia, which means he's going to give you a mind that you can make up with. In other words, have a mindset that you can follow. I'm going to do that because this power is overcoming every doubt. If we think about dunamis, we're thinking about power, explosions, amen, fireworks. Part of your knowledge, your thinking, you're going to use it, amen, like that. And then it says in verse 17, for as much then as God gave them the like gift, he did unto us, as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is really what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What would I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, they held their peace. He shut them up and glorified God. God, this is your work. Then hath God has commanded, or excuse me, that then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. In other words, when they heard them speak with tongues, not only at Cornelius' house, but also when these men were at Jerusalem, the story was told, they realized that these men undoubtedly have been granted repentance. It seems, I know it's only in a couple places, but you know what? We can repent of our own volition. But we're going to have to repent to God's commandment, because God is the one that gives the granting. And so sometimes, like myself, church, it might be going on another hour just to see Bill Davis get dunked. Amen. And so anyway, I said, no, I said, I don't. The next night I met the strongest temptation probably of my whole life. And I told a guy, no, I'm going to church. Repentance even changes you. And getting baptized in water was awesome. I came out of there feeling clean inside and out. I need that inside cleansing, because that's where God wants to dwell. Hallelujah. And then the next night, on Monday night, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it kept getting better. It kept getting better. Now, God is with you in repentance. It's his work. We are buried with him, because some people will come and say, well, baptism's a work. It can't be a work, because we can't do anything. We can just follow God's plan, and it's God. We're buried with him in baptism. He goes down with us. And we're raised up by the power of God to walk in the spirit of his resurrection, and God comes, amen, and we know that repentance has been granted. People need experience, amen, a relationship experience to where you know, amen, that was God talking, that was God working, that was God forgiving, that was God cleansing, that was God, amen, empowering. It all came from the power of God. Why? Because God wanted us saved, and not only to save us, but give us something that we can help convince the world that they need Jesus. Hallelujah. Shutting up early again. Even though let's stand together. Every now and then, somebody will try to create doubt. Use the scriptures to do it. Amen. Even come along and say, well, that just can't be. But you know what? I have never been tempted to say, okay, I give up. Because nobody could ever convince me that my experience was scripturally wrong. Amen. It was right. I was at General Conference. You know, a man asked me a question. I gave him an answer quick, and he told me, I've never heard a Pentecostal say that before. I said, well, I'm saying it. Amen. And I still believe it, and I've heard other people say it, but he had never heard that argument. Are my sins really gone? I remember where they were buried. I can take you back to the spot. Amen. Not everybody can do that because they don't remember when they were forgiven. They don't remember if they've been baptized. They don't remember getting the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you something, folks. If it comes in dead, it's going to be dead. And you're not going to be left with much to remember. But you do it God's way. And you'll have an experience. Amen. That will always keep you on fire in the church. Amen. You might let up, but it's going to be there to forgive you. Amen. Listen to this about the Holy Ghost. God's going to reveal it to you little by little. Isaiah the prophet, before he wrote and penned these words of prophecy, he said there was line upon line and precept upon precept. Line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little. And then there will be stammering lips. Last week about being thirsty for more of God. Hallelujah. Thirsty for the Holy Ghost. It might be here a little, it might be there a little, but God's leading you. You got to believe that. Cast away all doubt and say, Lord, it's time for me to get out from underneath this oppression and get where God is working in power. Amen. And receive the baptism of His Spirit. And then Paul says, this is the rest and this is the It's going to give you rest, and when you get tired again, it's going to give you the refreshing. It's always going to be there. It's God working in you. Praise the Lord. Let's come together and pray for a few moments. Let's ask the Lord to awaken us to the Spirit. Awaken us to the truth of the Word. Hallelujah. Awaken us to the need that is in our soul. Hallelujah. That we know that is internal. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to come. Hallelujah. God. Jesus, for loving me. Lord,
I love you also. We love you because you first loved us. Hallelujah, Lord, in your lovely house, your lovely name, your lovely name. To the saving of the soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember what I said this morning about forgiveness. I need it. We're going to go eat. I don't want anybody mad at me. Hallelujah. Downstairs. But Jesus is so true, so real. Hallelujah. Amen. May God go with you. Keep what you feel. Take it with you. We had one man here one time that was coming to church, and he was driving just down a road. A man pulled his pickup truck off to the side of the road, and God gave him the Holy Ghost right there. Hallelujah. I believe God gave it to him. Matter of fact, he's not coming to church today. He said what happened there, Brother Dave, was just some things that the devil can do. But he wants to come back. It's changed his life, his mindset about. knew him before. Hallelujah. But God just did a miracle, and he still remembers that, honors that. Amen. Has a few questions, not doctrinally, not any other thing. Just, you know, whatever you do, just let me give you this in closing. The Bible tells me that I should never offend. And the Bible then tells me that I should not be offended. And through activity, I know sometimes it can happen. And if it does, do everything that you can to reconcile that. God's given us a ministry of reconciliation. Because this person, like I said, was brand new in Christ and had to deal with some things that were a little hard. But he's not forgotten that experience yet. I've seen people live for God 40 years ago and say, I've never had anything like the Holy Spirit. I ask them, well, what happened? How can you trade that in for anything else? Well, there's just an old world. Even Paul had demons to forsake him. Amen. And it can happen. Don't let it happen to us, Lord. Hallelujah. With that, you're dismissed. Amen. Forgive me. Okay, Greg. Praise the Lord.
And how does all this shut off?